How have you not seen this?
Back to How Have You Not Seen This? As always, it's me, your host, Dustin Meadows. Today I'm joined by just a big old gaggle of comedians. We've got most of them making their debut on the show. We've got Dan Loper.
Hey, guys.
Georgia Barnes.
What's up?
Alex Green.
Hey, everybody.
And one time and now returner, Mike Kolensky.
Hello, everyone. It's great. It's just great to be back.
And we just watched The Rundown. 2003 action film starring The Rock, Sean William Scott, Rosario Dawson, and Christopher Walken.
And Uncle Rico.
And you?
Uncle Rico.
Oh, yeah. Whole lot of fun, this movie. Notable for being, I believe, The Rock's first significant lead role. Not his first role, that goes to The Mummy, The Curse of the Scorpion King. Mm-hmm. Just a real big pile of garbage. And then I think, actually, The Scorpion King may have predated this. Mm-hmm. This is the first good Rock starring vehicle. It was also financed in part by the then WWF Productions, who were just getting involved with making movies. They would do some films later, like See No Evil, horror picture with Kane, The Marine, starring John Cena, and somehow Robert Patrick, because he'll do anything for a paycheck, I guess. And then, subsequently down the road, they've included a more ridiculous fare, like a movie called Chaperone or something similar, starring Triple H, which was meant to be a family film. Last year saw Scooby-Doo and WrestleMania crossing paths in an animated feature with the voices of several WWE superstars. I need to watch that. I think everybody wants to see their childhood dream realized of John Cena teaming up with the Mystery Machine gang. Although, I mean, it would make sense. I think the Hurricane and Shaggy would hit it off well.
Oh, yeah.
Oh man, I just split this audience so hard. They're like, oh man, I better listen to Dustin's movie podcast. Oh, he's talking about wrestling now. This side of me exists, listeners. Deal with it. This was a successful movie financially. Vince McMahon even has an executive producer credit on this, I believe.
Very nice.
So, yeah, financially successful, pretty big release. In addition to The Rock, some decent names attached to it, as we mentioned earlier. Pretty big movie. Dan, how have you not seen this?
Well, I live under a rock, no pun intended.
We all live under the rock. It's the rock's world. We just live here.
I don't know. Like when I watch movies, I usually pick out certain movies and like tunnel vision my way for those movies, and this just didn't make it into the cut of my tunnel vision.
Okay.
So
fair enough.
Yeah.
Georgia?
I don't watch movies. That was the first movie I've ever seen. It's a pretty good experience. So I'm into it. I'll watch another movie.
Fair enough. Alex, I find it very hard. You more than anyone here today for this episode, I find it the hardest that you as a fellow wrestling enthusiast have not seen this.
Well, I have this weird thing where I only watch movies that I've heard of. So I'd actually never heard of this movie before.
What?
Amazingly.
That's so insane to me.
I know. I don't know. I think I just saw Scorpion King. I was like, that's The Rock's finest role. I don't need to see anything else.
Oh my God, no. The Rock is the reason I got into wrestling at all. I very much came up in the Raw's War Attitude era. So very big, The Rock, Mankind, Austin 316, all of it.
See, I was sort of a WCW type of guy back in the day.
Oh, you get the hell out of here. Look. don't you come onto my show and fucking swear your allegiance to a wrestling league that let David Arquette hold the heavyweight title.
It's a shame.
How dare you?
How is he a heavyweight?
He was not a heavyweight, but it was a silly cross promotional thing when Ready to Rumble came out.
Oh yeah,
that wrestling movie.
Yeah. Wrestling is real.
featuring a far less star studded turn from the likes of Diamond Dallas Page and maybe Sting, but how would you know if it was? Cause face paint.
Very easy costume to pull off.
And Joe Pantoliano playing the role he was born to, a crooked wrestling promoter for WCW. Right. So, of course.
DDP, favorite tag team partner to Karl Malone. Perfect tag team all time.
Exactly. How could they not? Insane. WCW, get the hell out of here.
My goal was to get kicked off this podcast immediately. I think I'm succeeding so far.
So that's good. Good.
Mike.
Yeah.
Michael.
Yeah. Short for Mike, yeah.
How have you not seen this?
I had a, knee jerk, I'm not seeing that movie, seeing the bill. Didn't know Christopher Walken was in it, though. But
That's how great is that reveal?
That was beautiful. And the Schwarzenegger. Fantastic. That was great.
Get out of my bar. I won't be sad.
Have fun in there.
Have fun in there. Your movie star. But
passing the torch moment.
I couldn't take it seriously because it's, The Rock and Sean William Scott. That just, took me out of it when it came out, and then I never thought of it again. How did that happen? But, that's
nice. Okay. Well, makes sense. I mean, I understand how people have not seen it.
You just had to stick to the formula of your own podcast.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, I look at this movie, it's like, I love this movie. How have you not seen it? No, I know how you've not seen this. I understand. It's not a Die Hard. It's not Forrest Gump or whatever. I get it. It makes sense.
That's a great comparison.
It certainly is not Forrest Gump.
Listen, if Schwarzenegger is going to make a cameo, why can't Jason Biggs? That's all I was waiting for.
Thank you.
I have girl problems, and then the movie's just...
It ended up on the cutting room floor. Maybe there was no place in this tale of finding your true self and rebelling against corporate infrastructure... And they just couldn't find room for pie fucking. No, it's just...
To be honest, it wouldn't surprise me to find out that Jason Biggs was one of the rebels. Just put some paint on it.
Well, why not? Kino from Secret of the Ooze and Surf Ninjas was one of the rebels.
Oh man,
there's a film.
Maybe Rob Schneider's least annoying film role today.
I was gonna say, let's not get off on a Surf Ninjas tangent because I could talk about that for for hours.
Here's the Surf Ninjas tangent to end any Surf Ninjas tangent we could start. Shortly after high school and college, I was in a band for 3 months called Money Can't Buy Knives. So there's that.
Wrapped it up.
It's done. Where do you go from there? Okay, cool. So now we've got some little understanding. What did you guys think?
I really liked it.
Needed more cowbell.
Yeah. I liked
all
it.
Of
most
those cows were
on it.
Okay.
Yeah. It was one of those movies.
Every cow needed a bell.
Yeah. So many cows.
They were just running wild. Now.
Oh, you could hear them coming.
Yeah.
I didn't need the bell.
It's true.
Oh my god, dinner's ready. Oh my god, dinner's ready. Oh my god, dinner's ready.
I don't know how the bagpipes summoned all the cows, but I don't care. I don't need to know. It was just...
What is that guy from?
That was Ewan Bremner is the actor's name. He was Sick Boy in Trainspotting.
Yeah.
He's in Snatch. I think he might also be in Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But he's in a bunch of Guy Ritchie stuff.
Okay,
and he pops up in smaller roles like this in most of the stuff he does. But Sick Boy is probably his most recognizable role.
Yeah,
of course.
So. I think it's Sick Boy. Sick Boy's the character from Trainspotting. I get them confused because all British people look alike.
That's true.
You know.
One of the we mentioned the Schwarzenegger thing. I love it too because like this was like I said, The Rock was still wrestling mostly full time at this point when this movie came out. So like he'd had the Scorpion King and he'd had the Mummy cameo. Mm-hmm. He had two SNLs under his belt at this point too. Mm-hmm. So like he was clearly beginning to make that transition into actor. So I like Mike, you said like that passing of the torch. That's literally what it was like because The Rock has like a decade after this movie has proved himself to be one of the most like bankable, highest paid movie stars. And not everything he's in is great, but almost everything he's in makes fucking bank.
Yeah, you put him in a tutu and shmoney.
Yeah, you get the Tooth Fairy, you get the... I went and saw The Game Plan in the theater.
When
I
was in college. Game Plan.
I went and saw it.
I'm a bad father, but by the end, I'll be a good father.
Exactly.
That'll happen.
And he's so charismatic, you believe it. Oh, man, and when he sings Elvis, oh, you're on board. Voice of an angel. Voice of a Samoan angel.
Yeah.
I'm glad you said that because before this movie, I did not know what nationality he was.
Yeah,
is Samoan.
Yeah, well, there's Samoan ancestry. I think there's some other things as well, but like, and he's a third generation wrestler as well.
Cousins with Rikishi, right, or something like that.
I don't think so. I think they both have Samoan heritage.
Oh, that's what it is.
But dope Rikishi name drop though.
No,
Rikishi. For everyone that's not myself, Mike, and Alex, Rikishi's finishing move was called the Sting Face.
Yeah.
And it involved sitting his opponent in the corner turnbuckle and just rubbing his butt on his face. Because, you guys, here's the thing. Sometimes wrestling is really great, and sometimes wrestling is the dumbest fucking thing in the world.
Oh. I think her.
I thought it was important that everyone know about the Stink Face.
And then there's just the good old like butt drop too.
The butt drop makes sense. That's you dropping your body weight on someone.
And you're dropping a Rikishi on a person. That's
exactly. Stink Face is just a humiliation tactic.
Yeah.
It's just a very silly move. But so we've gotten The Rock, especially as an action star. Like he's also shown he can do some other stuff as well. But you look at like some of the better things he's been in, things like I don't want to say Doom because Doom is a terrible movie, but him and Carl Urban are the best parts of that movie though. So you've got like The Rundown, and then you've got like Fast Five, Fast Six, which are fucking amazing movies. And that I love that franchise because until they became action movies, I didn't give a shit about those movies. When I was just like, how many spoilered cars can we put in a movie? I was like, I don't care. This literally means nothing to me. And then they're like, hey, what if we make them heist action movies? Hey, Dustin, also The Rock is in these now. Oh, okay. I'm sold.
I mean,
that's a pretty good song.
Throw a bank.
Yeah, and then this new one, they're like, hey, Dustin, Jason Statham and Kurt Russell are in this. It's like, oh, I'm sorry, can you have a boner four times bigger than your last one?
That's what this moment feels like when you learn this knowledge.
Look, if it's not clear, I love The Rock. I think he's great. I miss him in wrestling. Although he's come back the last couple of WrestleManias to perform, to come back and electrify the people, the millions and millions of The Rock's fans. But we've also got some other great people in this cast, like Sean William Scott. I even mentioned before we started, I fucking love Sean William Scott. I think he's one of the most underrated comedic actors, like, of the last decade. Stifler, I'm not super crazy about his role in those films, but I don't think he's terrible. But then you look at something like this, like Evolution, we mentioned Role Models,
yeah,
which is one of my all-time favorite comedies.
Still my finger.
Classic Sean William Scott. And even like Bulletproof Monk, which is like kind of one of his lesser films.
He was in that?
Yeah,
yeah, it's him and Chow Yun-Fat. It's a very, very bizarre movie. And it's definitely like he still plays like a very Sean William Scott type. But it's a little more serious. But it's a lot of fun, and I'm always happy anytime Sean William Scott pops up in something. He's the best part of Cop Out, which is a terrible fucking movie.
He was also in Old School.
Yeah. For a brief period. Yeah, yeah.
And very, the very funny part of that movie.
Yep, yep. One of my favorite parts of that.
And I mentioned that one movie that you haven't seen, Gary the Tennis Coach.
Yes.
That is... It's such a weird movie, and but it's basically just Sean William Scott being Sean William Scott. But, like, responsible for people, but before role models. So he's just also... Yeah. He lives in, like, a van outside the school.
Weird.
It's very weird.
Pinnacle of responsibility.
Right? Oh, yeah, you know.
Classic Sean William Scott.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you mentioned we have Rosario Dawson, who... again, another actress that I'm just a huge fucking fan of. Like, anytime she pops up, I'm like, oh, this will be pleasant, if nothing else. She's a solid actress. She's very pretty.
Clerks reference right off the bat.
Yeah.
When you're watching it.
Yeah.
That girl from Clerks.
It's that girl from Clerks.
She was dancing with that guy with the goatee on the roof of the...
Yeah. That girl from Clerks, not that girl from that really weird, awkward movie about 14-year-olds getting AIDS.
I used to have a Rosario Dawson poster from Sin City.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and, like, when I got it, I was like, oh, this is hot. And then, after a couple of months, I was like, I don't want this in my bedroom anymore.
Yeah.
It's very scary.
For a second, I thought you guys said you had a Rosario Dawson poster from her role in Kids. I was like, that's not a good poster. That's not a poster you should be admitting to having. I'm going to take it a step further. That's not a poster you should have.
Yeah.
No.
That movie is so fucked up. And then, of course, Christopher Walken as the fucking villain. How
the first time they showed the back of his head, I was like, I think I recognize
him. Yeah, you did, you did. And like, so I was like, oh man, will everyone else put it together as quickly as Alex did before we get that first reveal? Oh god. I'm trying to remember the first line he's like, every line he says is so ridiculous, but the very first thing he says is so silly. And every line is.
Yeah.
That whole rant about the tooth fairy.
Yes.
That was fantastic.
Just explaining what the
like,
tooth fairy is.
They're just like, you guys know what the tooth fairy is, right?
Any normal person would just give it up on that track.
Yeah.
They don't get it. Fine, let's move on. It's like, no, they're fucking understanding what the tooth fairy is, goddammit.
You lose a tooth, she takes it, it gives you money. All right.
Yeah.
Tooth fairy.
Like, part of me almost, too, because, like, I think it's fairly common knowledge, like, Christopher Walken does the thing where, like, he punctuates the dialogue however he wants to. Part of me almost hopes that there wasn't really much dialogue scripted for him.
He just riffed the whole movie.
Like, yeah, like, what is the thing? Like, he has, like, great monologues in films. In True Romance, which we did for an earlier episode of this podcast, one of the best scenes of that movie is between him and Dennis Hopper.
Mm.
And both of them only have, like, maybe 3 or 4 minutes of screen time, tops. But, like, in that one scene, like, Christopher Walken fucking deals like the entire movie, just because he's so good, and like the things he's saying is just so patently, you can't imagine anyone but Christopher Walken saying this. Like, who else could I watch talking about the Tooth Fairy, like, still laugh about it, and then I'll be like, oh wait, this guy's still a convincing villain.
you think like the script was like, all right, you give a rousing speech, and he just goes off of this tangent, and everyone there is like, what are you doing?
Just
like, go, let it go.
This,
let
this
go.
Is gonna work. Yeah. Just give me a chance.
Like, Christopher Walken is like the predecessor to present day Matthew McConaughey, and all of his tangential, like, ridiculous rants about flat circles and spiritual energy and whatever the hell else Matthew McConaughey tends to ramble about.
I was driving Lincoln's long before they paid me to.
Yeah. And oh god, when he gets shot in the hand, and his reaction is just whoa!
I love when he gets shot in the stomach. He's like, I'm done.
Yeah. I love too. Also, Christopher Walken, very much in the same vein as Heath Ledger's Joker. Probably less than 10 minutes of screen time in this movie.
Yeah,
kills it. Kills it. Never seen. Knocks it out of the park.
I was wondering, like, if he was just like, I'll show up for 2 days, but. I'm getting the fuck out.
I knew at at some point one of us was going to do a walk-in impression.
Yeah,
we all. I applaud you for how restrained you were.
That's like a nice toned-down Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
Probably just how he talks to his family when he's
Yeah, that's him talking to the director or whatever.
This is Christopher Walken at the bank. Just, hey, I need to take out 20. I'm going to a cash bar tonight.
I used to do a really good walk-in impression, and I don't know what happened, but I lost it.
It's not a bad thing.
No.
It's not a bad thing to
No,
lose.
Not how much I used it. It's definitely a good thing that I forgot how to use it.
That was your go-to.
I played entire games of Apples to Apples as Christopher Walken.
Before Cards Against existed.
Oh, yeah, man.
When we lived at our parents' house.
I would be okay with Christopher Walken impression coming back if it meant playing board games with you. And you were in character the entire time. I feel like I've been shanghaiing a lot of it. Does somebody else jump in here with anything? Please.
No, dude, you're running the show, man. Run your show.
It's your podcast.
We're pumping in when we can pump in. You can edit all this out if you want to.
I like the cinematography in this movie.
I never edit anything.
Oh, good.
I like the cinematography in this movie, how they kept showing that one hill
a million times. The Jurassic
We'll just show it from this angle, and then we'll show it from the same angle, but there's no plane in it this time, so no one's going to notice.
They did. Like, I appreciate this movie on a lot, because I'm not saying this is a bad movie, because I very much enjoyed it, but I do love watching just horrible movies sometimes.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Just to, you get that like kind of schadenfreude that you feel
within
yourself, which is very nice. And one thing this movie did that I thought was kind of corny, but I loved, was the fact that they kept bringing back the, like, all right, option A is you can just give me what I want, yep. No one gets hurt. Option B, the exact fucking opposite.
Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. Definitely a lot of tropes this movie embraces. I love and I hate the one last job. The even movies. Mm. They're like, I want out there, like, you gotta do this one last job.
But I
want
to start a restaurant.
Yeah.
Can we talk about how The Rock is starting a restaurant?
Oh, yes. You know, 10 to 15.
Look, man.
That could be his own movie on itself.
He's listening to whatever bullshit on NPR at the beginning. Like, you know?
They're describing Portini mushrooms. It's not that complex. I can't remember what the dish that they, like, he also had in that notebook, but it was something absolutely that sounded disgusting to me. Oh, small this is going to be a terrible restaurant.
Porcini mushrooms and sautéed shoes.
It's 10 to 15 tables, though.
That's what they're about.
It would be great if this movie took place in, like, 1984, and it's just, like, just how Ruby Tuesdays got started. I started with 15 tables, and it just fucking spread like wildfire, man. I don't know what happened.
You take reservations now?
Look, yeah. And The Rock started a little restaurant, you know, and just it started out so small, it was intimate, so it got to be like when people were there, they were family.
I also like
the
how
one thing The Rock wanted was just unlimited breadsticks. He just wanted
rock bottomless breadsticks.
Turn it off.
I also like how they never mention that he's a good chef until, like, the very end of the movie.
Yeah.
It's like, he wants to start a restaurant, that's fine. Maybe he just wants to do it from, like, a financial standpoint. But then, like, at the very end, the guy's like, and this guy wants to start a restaurant. Best chef I know.
Yeah. We never said. All we know is that he wants to cook. I'm trying to think of a... God. It's like that episode of Freaks and Geeks. When Jason Segel's character, like, he wants to be a rock and roll drummer.
Oh, yeah.
And then that episode where, like, they finally reveal, like, it looks like he's playing along to Rush, and you find out he's fucking garbage at it. Yeah. And it's one of, like, just the funniest, most satisfying, like, reveals I've ever seen in anything. And I love any time their movie's like, no, this person fucking sucks at this thing.
I'm good at two things. Kicking ass and making sandwiches.
They never ate an entire movie, too.
So yeah, they ate, like, the fruit.
They ate
the, fruit.
That's true. That trippy, doesn't require
weird.
A lot of cooking, though.
Mm-hmm. He ate them Brazil nuts, bro.
He smelled them.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Smelled it, set it down.
Nah. Smelled it, killed it.
He has to maintain his figure, though. He can't.
That's true.
Everything.
He's so much smaller in this movie than he is now, too.
Oh, my God,
Like, it was weird watching this, because, like, I just saw him. I was watching WrestleMania clips. from last year, because fucking of course I was. Yeah. but yeah, like, just to see, like, him now and, like, how jacked he is now, like, and in the Fast movies. Yeah. And then, like, I just watched Snitch a couple of months ago, which is very disappointing. It seems like he's trying to take on, like, all these different roles now. Like, he's trying to, like, broaden his horizons. Yeah. I'm like, nah, man, just fucking take movies where you and Vin Diesel, like, fucking suplex a dude on a cargo plane in one of the best fight scenes I've ever seen. Hey, Academy Awards, where the fuck is the Oscar for Fast 6, you pieces of shit?
Where's his, like, he gets his, like, you know, minute of screen time shirtless. Everyone goes home happy. It's always good. It's always a nice thing.
Speaking of Rock being shirtless.
Oh, go on.
It's not about... He was wearing a shirt at the time in the scene. When she tells him about the parasites that swim up your pee hole.
Yeah.
And uses a word that sounds a lot like pee hole.
Pee-noo.
Pee-noo. Yeah. Oh, I thought she said pee-tube for a long time in the movie. I was like, that's probably some Portuguese word.
Scientific term.
But like, they're like, oh, there's all these parasites in this water. Don't pee. You can go in there with open wounds, though. It's fine.
Yeah.
So
bleeding sores. Fine. Just don't pee.
Yeah, just don't get up in your donger, bro. The people's strudel, man. You gotta keep it clean.
I've never seen someone buckle their pants so tight. Hey, after getting that information.
Hey, man, you ever swam in a river with dick stinging parasites?
I never swam.
What?
That's not true.
That says, like, Alex, how have you not done what's a relatively normal thing for everyone to have done?
This just spawns into, like, a swimming podcast. Yeah. How have you not done this? And it's just a thing that you do, not a movie.
I've never thumb wrestled.
Alex, how have you not swam a 7-minute mile?
I was busy.
Do they measure swimming in miles?
Sorry, meters. It's meters.
Okay. Meters.
You could do that.
You could absolutely do that.
It's, I mean, you have the conversion rates. Be a little strange.
When you do lifeguard training, you have to swim a mile. Because, you know, the event that you're ever, I guess, I don't know, in the middle of the fucking ocean and don't have a boat to save someone.
Just let the tide do what it wants with me.
Exactly, man. Yo, you're in the middle of the ocean. Fucking Jaws is your lifeguard, bro. Your life's in that shark's fucking hands now.
What if you're lifeguard training in, like, inner city Detroit? There's no oceans there.
That's true.
They don't even have water there anymore.
No.
No water in Detroit.
Can you jump into an empty pool?
Oh, you can absolutely jump into an empty pool.
Well, yeah.
Sounds like parkour, you guys.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Have you not done this? Parkour? Come on.
Yeah.
Parkour, which is apparently how Portuguese rebels fight.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my city.
You like all these ropes and, like, I guess those were vines. Maybe they were ropes.
It was like Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah. I was trying to think of a better, but yeah, Cirque du Soleil is pretty appropriate.
And violence.
Well, it's like,
A lot of it looks like baseball fighting. Just like sliding.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he does a fucking baseball slide and then just kicks the rock 30 feet through the air. I think, too, it's really funny because that fight scene, at least the part of it where the rock's getting the shit kicked out of him, reminds me of the fight scene in Hook. When Robin Williams first gets to the Lost Boys hideout in Neverland,
yeah.
And all the Lost Boys are just like flying all around and like just teaming up on him. It's insane.
It looked identical to a fight scene in Ong Bak 5.
Yeah, yeah, that didn't surprise me. Wait, there's 5 of those now?
It's like 10. I don't know. It was
so
on
many
Netflix.
Ong Baks.
It might have been 4. I can't read Roman numerals. It might have been just another letter, or it might have been a 5.
Five for Vendetta.
Oh, man. Ladies and gentlemen, I've not seen this. Come for the talk about movies. Stick around for the piping hot bits.
Get your hot bits here.
I came for the movies, but I stayed for the bits.
I also love the introductory opening fight scene where Rock just beats the shit out of, like, an entire offensive line of a football team. Mm. Specifically the part where he fucking Rock bottoms one of them through
great.
A table.
My favorite part of that fight scene was when he threw that record player like a frisbee to kill that team.
And he picks it up and goes...
deflects a punch, bashes it over a guy's head like a steel chair, and then just frisbees it. Into the Latissimus Dorsey of that fucking dude. It's like,
Was one of those dudes Exhibit?
No, but there are a few of them.
There was one that looked like Exhibit.
Yes. Mm. There are a few of them that I've definitely seen in other stuff, but I can't think of anything off the top of my head. Even the main guy, I'm pretty sure I've seen in stuff before, too. I'm also just a fan. Like, every time a movie has a wrestler, that if that wrestler doesn't do their signature finishing move to someone, that movie is a fucking failure. Like, that's why I was so disappointed in The Condemned and The Expendables, because at no point does Steve Austin deliver a stone-cold stunner to anyone.
So you hate the newer Happy Madison production movies, because every time a wrestler is in one of those, they don't really do anything.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I just don't watch Happy Madison.
How did you feel about 21 Jump Street? I'm pretty sure there's no wrestling moves in that.
Who was in 21 Jump Street?
Cena. No, it wasn't John Cena. It's
Channing Tatum.
Channing Tatum. He's not a wrestler.
No, he absolutely is not.
I get them confused sometimes because they have weird names.
They're close. Stripping and wrestling.
Yeah. Cena, Channing.
Yeah, they both. There are C's in parts of their name.
They both have square faces.
Yeah.
But sure, both of them.
So wait. Hold on. Which Happy Madison pictures? Because now I'm curious.
There's multiple that wrestlers are in. I'm thinking of is the remake of The Longest Yard. There's multiple. Stone Cold and Goldberg are both in there.
Oh yeah,
Goldberg. Oh man, yeah. Right,
Goldberg definitely spears someone though. There's no way he's in
it's a football game, so
yeah,
he tackled somebody. I'm sure.
Hey, a tackle is different than a spear. Man.
Yeah,
it's prison. It's prison football too, so you know it's gonna be.
A spear is a tackle, but afterwards you do like a little jump and you flex your arms and you yell, "Who's next?"
And I think Stone Cold was in Grown Ups 2.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Was he in?
I think he was like the bully, like the childhood bully of Adam Sandler.
How could you not have someone him Stone Cold?
No, he was like he became nice at the end because it's a kids movie.
Boom.
Mm.
So he didn't hurt anybody.
He
was
like,
very disappointed.
Said,
like,
slam beers together. No, nothing.
Yeah, basically just had a dance party.
That's a bummer. I know I mentioned during the movie, I just love when fights and movie scenes just turn into wrestling moves getting incorporated.
Like when he jumps from building to building and just, like, shoulder checks that.
Yeah, yeah, flying shoulder tackle. the fucking sidewalk slam, it's just all of it. I mentioned while we're watching this, Blade 2, one of my favorite things is when Wesley Snipes just, like, grabs one of the vampires and just does a straight standing suplex. And then later during the final fight scene, at one point, the dude he's fighting, like, scales up a wall because, you know, vampire. And then does, like, the longest Macho Man flying elbow drop from, like, 40 feet away. It's like, this is ridiculous, but I fucking love it. Just please put more wrestling into everything I love.
I've kind of figured out why people like UFC, I figured out why people like wrestling based on watching UFC, because UFC is what professional wrestling is pretending to be, but like way better, like with actual moves and things. Mm-hmm. And then they're just like, what if it was for real? And then they like throw people in a cage and like, oh, this is really boring.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll trick some people into watching.
Look, man, no UFC match is ever going to top Undertaker fighting Mankind.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Look, when fucking Chuck Liddell or fucking whoever can grab a microphone and start cutting dope promos like Macho Man or The Rock or whoever else, then I'll be on board. But until then, fucking Randy Couture and fucking Ronda Rousey and whoever else is like, no, WWE is better than you.
Oh, for sure. Is anyone else still mad that they made him change it?
Yeah.
From WWE?
Yeah,
definitely. Oh, yeah.
The World Wildlife Fund.
Get out of here.
Thunder Foundation.
No one cares about pandas.
Either one.
They're not doing well.
I know.
What, they gotta take that on the rest of us?
That's their own fault. They don't wanna.
If they fold, do you think WWE will take back their original?
I certainly hope so.
Yeah. That'd be badass if they did.
Let's boycott the.
At this point, man,
they have been by not actively paying attention to them.
They've already rebranded, man. It's too late. There's no turning back.
Well, they can turn back.
Look, man, they should have just fucking had The Undertaker go out to the pandas and just fucking given them all the last ride. Oh, what's this? African Black Rhino? Guess what? Tombstone Piledriver. Bam! Extinct. Oh, what's
Stone
this?
Stone Cold Stun, a couple of Bengal Tigers.
That's right. What's this? Some fucking dumbass snake? Who gives a shit? Fucking, here comes Triple H with the pedigree. Actually, you couldn't pedigree a snake. They ain't got no arms. Poor example.
Yeah.
Sweet chin music, because snakes kind of got chins.
They got chins. They got fangs.
That's right. Watch for them. And Shawn Michaels, fucking heartbreak kid, can deliver the sweet chin music to their fangs. I just want this to be a movie now. Just the WWF superstars fighting nature to reclaim their
WWF versus WWF.
It's all the information is there now. You're recording it. It's in the podcast. You can go back and listen to your ideas. Formulate.
That's right. Vince McMahon, call me. Or Linda McMahon, whichever one's calling the shots now. I've gotten very sidetracked. But this is the first time I've done a movie with The Rock, I think, on this podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, no, it's not true. Only my second, because I did do Doom a while ago.
Oh, wow.
So I didn't talk about wrestling nearly as much as I should have.
Get it out.
So, yeah. Do you guys have anything else you want to add before we wrap it up with the favorite moments?
I like that air.
I like when The Rock tripped.
Hold on.
Is that a favorite moment?
Not favorite moment.
Oh, okay.
Are you stepping on my favorite moment?
Is it your favorite moment? Then I won't say it.
Guys, we have to hold off our favorite moments.
All right.
Yeah. Can we favorite moments then come back to what he's going to say?
Well, I'll say my
favorite. Because I think you are going to say my favorite moment.
All right, well,
here, let's start our favorite moments, and we'll start with Dan Loper.
Okay.
Just work our way around.
The first fight scene.
Yeah, in the club?
In the club. Uh-huh. No, actually, second one. It was the first one, like, when he was in... At the bar.
In El Dorado.
Yeah. When he just takes down everybody in the bar. And he slides the magazine across the floor like it's a banana peel. And just takes out that dude. Who would do that? Like, if you're fighting somebody and you have a gun and you've made this Batman-esque decision not to shoot people.
Yeah.
How are you like, alright, well, I'm going to find other ways with this gun. And he's just like, here's a part of the gun, slide, trip. Like, that's not a thing that anyone would ever do.
Look,
it's ridiculous. Was that what you're going to say?
Yeah, it was.
That's why Beck is so good at what he does, man. not the musician, Beck being The Rock's character in this film. Alright, guys, didn't want to get you too excited.
He's not a loser.
That's right.
He's got a camera.
And no one can kill him.
No double haircut in his brain, am I right? Am I right? Hop it.
I want to say E-pollution, but go on.
Georgia?
Anytime people are falling for extended periods of time, very enjoyable.
The hill tumble, yeah.
I could watch an entire film of hill tumbling. Be thoroughly entertained by it.
George, I'm gonna level with you right now. There is probably a 10-minute stretch of surf ninjas that you will absolutely love.
I'm going back to surf ninjas.
We found a way back.
Look, man, it's a gift. It's my gift and my curse.
Tommy Boy, I think, also has a... No, Black Sheep has a tumble.
Yes, yeah, Black Sheep has a tumble.
Hot Rod, too.
Yeah, Hot Rod has
yeah.
one.
Shit!
Well, I was gonna say that. Because, you know, it's pretty awesome when you fall for so long that you forget that there's also a Jeep falling at you.
Yeah.
That's a pretty long fall.
Though there was a little gaff there where, like, the Jeep is flipping when it comes at him, and then it comes straight at him in the next scene.
That's how Jeeps fall.
Yeah, but it's spinning.
Like,
and
they
then
spin for a while, but then they, like, level out because you take the doors off, and then they just go straight.
The real question is, did they recall that Jeep? Because that is a safety hazard, you guys. It shouldn't just be flipping like that down hills. Come on.
There's no roll bars, man. What do you want? Really quick, I love that you mentioned the gun clip thing. Can I like too, like the last couple of years, like action sequences, I feel like have had to get more inventive because like we've just seen so much at this point. I just watched the last Riddick movie with The Rock co-star Vin Diesel from the Fast movies.
I remember them.
that's his accolade.
There's a part where Vin Diesel kicks a machete out of a character's hand while the machete is flying up in the ceiling. Vin Diesel then headbutts the dude across the room into a wall, Machete falls back down. He catches it flat on the tip of his foot, tosses it up like with a Bruce Lee move, and then just straight kicks it across the room and decapitates the guy. Oh, it's on the same level of ridiculousness as The Rock throwing a clip to trip someone. And it's one of the funniest and best things I've ever seen in a movie.
So I guess in lieu of the falling scene, I'm going to go with a scene I may have already mentioned, but the part where, you know, Christopher Walken's in this big fight, and he's like, no, I'm not going to take option A, that's not my style, whatever.
Yeah.
And then he just gets shot twice, and the guy's like, I'm done!
Yeah.
I'm out! I'm out, I'm taking option A, I'm just going to walk, please move,
you one move,
get out of my way. And then he just is like, oh! Dead.
No, just, ah, shit.
Yeah, that's right. Ah, oh, shit is his final words.
So I don't want to go out, guys.
And this is following shortly after he just said, that's a lot of cows.
Yeah.
After all those cows are in it. Yeah, there's a lot of cows.
And not just, you know, I don't just want to say, ah, oh, shit, today. I want to, like, the entire backstory. I want to take over like a Brazilian area.
Uh-huh.
It's just and just slave treatment all the people there.
Well, they get paid a little bit.
Yeah, 65 cents an hour. Come on, that's not a living wage.
Yeah, they need to unionize.
Well, I mean, if you convert it to whatever currency they use in Brazil.
Oh yeah, man, we didn't even talk about that.
I don't know.
I love this movie because it's like, hey, man, fuck corporations, kind of. It doesn't explicitly say that, but I think that's the subtext.
Wait, what kind of, what corporation is using gold? Jewelers.
Bond. Bond villains.
Bond villains.
He went to Jared.
Look, man, this is probably just a more accessible, more fun version of the movie Blood Diamond.
That's true. Also, when they showed the quarry for the first time, did they just like take that from the Lord of the Rings movie where they show like the mines that the orcs are in?
No, it looks like it. No, it was CGI.
Yeah, it was. They get just like, ah, take out the orcs, put in Mexicans, we're fine.
Yeah.
Mexicans, Portuguese. Tell the whole thing off.
Hot bits, everyone. Hot bits on sale. My favorite moment?
Favorite moment? They're more like moments.
Okay.
Anytime they talk about The Rock being a restaurant owner. Small business is the cornerstone of this nation. it's important because that's what the movie's about, really, at the core of it, is a small business owner wanting to just open up shop. Second favorite, when he cocks the gun in like 7 different ways.
Armpits?
Yeah.
The armpit cock.
He
puts them together.
His own armpits.
Someone else's
armpits. And then, like, just...
He, like, smacks them together.
At one point, he cocks it by pushing the pump against his foot.
Uh-huh. And then there's the crate.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Just showing the skills of Beck.
Look, man.
His character.
Yeah.
And,
You gotta look dope when you use shotguns, man. Especially you spent the whole movie not using shotguns like a fool.
Was that explained?
He just said he didn't like where he goes, and then we see when he gets those guns, he's a fucking killing machine. Like, we're watching this too, and I was almost like, I had it in my head, I was like, oh man, I think it's really cool, because I think he does use guns, I don't think he kills anybody, and then like within 2 seconds, I'm like, oh no, he fucking shot that dude point blank. Like, he does kill people when he uses guns.
But he's got those tattoos, and there's a date. And a cross, and it's like, okay, that's someone that died in his past, possibly from guns that he used. That might be a secret backstory.
His firstborn was trapped in a bus, and he fucking took a shotgun to it.
Well, when Sean William Scott asks him, like, would you use a gun to save your best friend? And he doesn't really answer the last time. Does that mean that Scott is his best friend now?
Oh, man.
They are best buds now.
Can you imagine if Batman was just
like,
he's like, I don't use, he's, I mean, he obviously doesn't use guns, but if you, there was just like a fuck it moment, and he just like just started blasting people with guns. That would make Batman so different.
Classic Batman.
A little trivia about Batman. The very, very original Batman did use guns.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And they're like, this is too fucked up.
Yeah. Also, Batman has actually used guns a shitload.
Yeah.
Tim Burton Batman. Yeah. Oh, what's this? fucking twin-mounted machine guns on the Batmobile.
Well, yeah, but he's not talking about guns. Yeah,
those are still guns.
Guns are guns.
Oh, Christopher Nolan, Batman. Oh, hey, the Batwing shoots
has
rockets.
Missiles, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, guess what missiles do? The same thing as guns, but more explodier.
Yeah.
And also the gun he uses that just shoots a batarang. That's
Count that gun. Do not count that gun.
Hey, if you hit somebody in the jugular with that batarang, they're going down.
If you throw it in the jugular, they're going to go down.
Right, but you can't throw as far as you can shoot. You can't
look,
throw
man, he's not, he's not throw. Rorschach and Watchmen, all right? It's okay.
I bet Batman would be amazing at frisbee golf.
Oh, he'd have to be, man.
No, he's too strong. He's too much power.
He's big off the tee.
Yeah, he's big off the tee, but he's not going to have a good short game.
Fucking
nerd. All right, we got
alright, wrap it up, my favorite moment, I love that first, the club fight scene, that's just, I think, one of my favorite introductions to a character, that and the final scene when The Rock fucking bust out guns, and then just starts fucking everyone shit up, and flying shoulder tackles a brick column and
how
takes down
I ruin
a sniper
these
nest.
Snipers? I'm just gonna punch all the walls.
Look, man, The Rock is proof that you can't punch all of your problems away, but you can punch most of them. Alright, I think we're gonna wrap it up there. Thank you, Dan Loper, Georgia Barnes, Alex Green, and Mike Olinsky for coming on doing the podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Thank you all for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Thanks for listening to How Have You Not Seen This. If you enjoyed the podcast, like the page on Facebook. Subscribe to us on iTunes. You can also leave us a rating or a review. If you're interested in donating to the podcast, you can do so through the PayPal link at the Podomatic website, howhaveyounotseenthis.podomatic.com. You can also send any questions, comments for the show to howhaveyounotseenthispodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time.